one of my favorite guests of all time is here, and I think I missed him last time he was here
because
I was out.
Tony Fulmer. I missed you too. But Bill was a great host.
I was a great host.
Were you nice to him?
I was very nice to Tony.
Were you gooped up on chocolate?
No, that's today. I wasn't last time. I only do that once in a while. Hi, Tony. It's nice to see you.
Pleasure's mine. I always enjoy being here.
Tony Fulmer is the Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery, which is out in Wilmette on Lake Avenue. And I was just talking to him off the air. I did not do a lot of gardening last year. I had a sore knee. It was hard to get down and dirty and bend and weed and do all that stuff. So I'm looking forward to a wonderful gardening season this year.
So did the family pitch in and help?
No, my yard looks terrible. So this is the year I get things back in order. I got two working knees. I know it's early. We're going to get 10 inches of snow on Thursday night into Friday.
Right.
But there are things we can be doing now to get our gardens ready.
Right.
What?
Well, there are a couple of things. One of the biggest things right now for me is I'm looking back and reviewing what didn't work and what worked well. So what do I want to add? What is new that I want to do different? And a lot of people, if they're intimidated and they don't feel like they can do their own design and they're going to have someone design for them, they should be getting in contact with their landscape designer or their landscape architect now.
Yeah.
And because when you walk in and expect that the 1st of May, you know, it's a very seasonal climate. So everybody is waiting until the last minute, and then there's an appropriate delay, and you a lot of times can't get design back or installation until later in the summer. So be thinking ahead and contact your landscape architect, your landscape designer now, or if you do your own, if you're your own designer.
Which I do.
Be poring over those catalogs and thinking about that, and if you're a person that starts your own seeds, then, you know, the seed racks have been in since the first week in January, the Chalet. We have 7 different seed companies, and the seed racks are already there. So,
what are the benefits of, like, I don't grow my own things. I go buy a full-blown plant when it's time to plant. But what are the benefits of planting seeds and doing it all yourself?
Well, aside from the satisfaction, one of the biggest things is that you can get varieties that will not be commercially available. Uh-huh. So if you read about a great heirloom tomato or a great pepper or whatever, you may have a hard time shopping even an independent garden center and finding the plant, but the seed is available. So you can go ahead and you can grow exactly what you want that you may not be able to find commercially available.
How do you grow them in your basement? Do you have to have your own greenhouse? How does this work?
Well, no, you don't have to. With modern light setups, you can go ahead and you could do it in the basement. You can do it if you have a spare bedroom and you don't have guests coming for the next 6 or 8 weeks. you know, starting typically most things, what you have to think about is our average last frost-free date here is about the middle of May. So just about Mother's Day. So typically, if you want to do tomatoes and peppers, things that take a longer period of time, you want to back them up about 6 to 8 weeks from that date. So that's a fairly common mistake people make. They get really excited and they come in and they buy their seeds right now and they go ahead and get them started in February. And especially if they don't either use artificial lights or they don't have really sunny south or west windows, they have tomato plants that are 18 inches tall and have 2 leaves on them. Mm. So a real important thing to do is to back into that frost free date, and don't start your tomatoes and your peppers. Don't start them much before probably about the middle of March.
All right, I have a tip that I just thought of right now while talking to you. You gave me a great idea.
Oh, you've got a tip for me?
Great.
You're
a muse. You are.
No,
yes, you are.
Totally. No, I want to learn.
Well,
I want to learn.
You probably have told me this before, but you know, I just kind of started. I didn't like the way the garden looked when I moved in. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to put something that I like here, something that I like there. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, it's like I have a pretty beautiful setup with plants that I like.
Mm-hmm.
But there are various holes, like things that haven't come back. So I think good advice, and you may have told me this, is at the end of the season, take some pictures of your garden so you can see where the holes are, and then you can plan ahead for what you want to fill those holes with next year. Like maybe you need a color for that particular area. Would that be a good way to do things?
Right. Well, I think fairly cool tips about that are you may want to take pictures in black and white. Because when you take pictures of your garden at its very best in the summer, you can be a little bit less objective than perhaps you should be because you're so blown away by the color in one spot. But, you know, it's not, your garden isn't just about texture, about color. It's about texture
and
it's about line and form and stature and that sort of thing.
What if your garden is in black and white, Tony? Then what do you do?
That's a garden I would like to see.
Oh, all right.
That's a garden I would definitely like
garden.
To see. Right. So that is, I think that's a really, really good idea. And I was just at a seminar last week, and the gal was doing a presentation on perennial gardening and design. And her comment was, we call it trash paper. You can get this very thin paper that you just lay over, and you can see what's underneath. And she said, what I do when I design a garden is, she said, I put the colors in for spring bloom. Then I do another sheet for summer bloom, and then I do another sheet for fall bloom. And then she said, I lay them over each other. And she said, then I have my total look for the year, my total color for the year. But she said, then I can pull each season off and look and see where I'm going to be deficient in color.
Yeah.
Genius.
Which I was very cool.
Very smart.
Really smart.
That is amazing planning. It you shouldn't be scared of it, but you do have to think about things like various heights and various bloom times. And I think it's fun. You don't necessarily need a designer. Just put things you like and then each
things
year add
you.
To it.
And I think another common mistake is we're going to try something, so we're going to put ones of things in, and you get no impact from ones. So you should always be doing masses
like three,
threes and fives and sevens, especially if it's going
odd numbers, Bill.
I remember
numbers.
From last time. Tony taught me that last time.
Especially if you are looking at your garden from a distance, you really need that impact. And remember, if you're in shaded areas, don't go for darker colors. Darker colors recede. You need lighter colors when you're back in shade. And
it all makes sense when you say it, Tony. I don't know how you do it, but it always makes sense. Tony Fulmer's here from the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. More after this on WGN.
We're talking with Tony Fulmer, Chief Horticultural Officer at Chalet Nursery.
Wendy's drunk.
I'm not, Bill. I can control myself when chocolate is around.
She's high on gardening.
That's what it is, Tony.
I'm really excited about gardening this year. I was talking to Tony Fulmer. By the way, you can visit the Chalet, 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette. You can also go to chaletnursery.com. My mom gardened, and it was very pretty. Now, knowing what I know, it wasn't as pretty as it could have been. It was the house was built in the 60s, and she had lots of areas to fill, and it was just patterns like red geranium, white petunia, red geranium, white petunia. Mm-hmm. It was like a pattern that's how she planted, but you were telling me off the air that's how people planted back then.
Well, absolutely. You know, just as colors and trends and styles come and go in interior design, it's exactly the same. So when I went to University of Illinois in the early 70s, our design instructor said, you never put flowers in the front of the house. Well, now that would be...
What?
Why?
Well, because everything is about the house. Everything is about the facade of the house, and you are supposed to be filtering all of your vision to the front door. So there's never a question where when people come to the house, where the front door is.
Oh, really?
So Professor Nelson said in his book and in his classes, he said, you do not put flowers in the front of the house. Well, obviously, times have changed, things have changed, and the amount and the diversity and the number of plants that are available to us now, I mean, people that are not into gardening think, well, it's the same plants every year, and it's been the same plants for the last 60 years.
Geraniums and petunias. That's all I knew for a while.
Exactly. And that's what we had. That was the palette then. And now it's so different. And there's so many more choices and so many more tropicals and so many more exotic things, especially that are great for containers. So, but even the perennials. You know, we have over 2,000 varieties of perennials in the spring at the store. So there's the palette is much, much, much wider than it used to be.
Professor Nelson. What does he know?
Nancy, Nancy has a hydrangea question. They seem to be a very common plant. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yes, I would like the definitive advice on how to care for hydrangeas year-round.
Okay. Nancy, do you have a specific hydrangea that you're talking about?
A blue one. A blue one.
Okay, blue one.
Okay,
Tony.
Is it a blue one that was given to you as a gift, like at Mother's Day? Which, in the case that it's a florist hydrangea, it probably is not hardy. If it was sold to you as a garden hydrangea, then that's a different story.
That's what it was. It was a garden one.
Okay.
It is a garden one.
Okay.
They're pink.
Pink, okay. Then they're going to be pink because the color is determined by our soil acidity or alkalinity. So if you don't do anything to it in our soil, if it blooms, it's going to be pink. The biggest thing is that you want to give them a spot where they get preferably a half day of morning sun and then some afternoon shade. When it gets really, really hot, they get really, really unhappy. And so they should be mulched. They should be kept evenly moist if we go for long periods without rain. And the other thing is don't do any pruning on them in the fall. And in March or early April, when you can see the stems, what is green and what has died over the winter, only prune then and try. Don't prune them back to the ground. You want to try and save as much of last year's stems and branches for potential flowering as you possibly can. So don't cut them back to the ground unless all of those stems are dead in March or April.
Okay. That answered my question, because one year we cut them back, but they are very hardy. I mean, they come back every year, bigger and better, but now this past winter I let them stay, and
Good.
So I did the right thing. Good.
Perfect. And you know, Tony gave me some great advice on how to shape the hydrangea bush, where you leave it taller in
you
the
start
center.
Pruning, yeah, and actually you should prune most deciduous things or things that drop their leaves. They grow naturally rounded. They don't grow flat topped. And so you start at the top and you prune the top, the center, prune that a little bit higher, and that sets the height for the plant. And then you prune gradually as you work to the edges. You get a little bit shorter and shorter so that the plant will have the shape that you want, because it will grow out exactly the way you pruned it. So you want them round topped as opposed to flat topped.
He's good.
Okay, great. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tony, at the beginning of the segment, you said you got to look back on your mistakes that you made last year. You said that at the beginning. Yeah. Do you still make mistakes? You don't make mistakes anymore, do you?
Well, I tend to push the envelope.
Yeah.
So as a horticulturist, my own motto to myself is I haven't really tried something unless I've killed it three times. So I tend to push things that maybe they're not really hardy, but I want to see if they're not hardy for me.
That makes sense.
I make mistakes and color mistakes, and I want to try things. You know, it's like life.
Yeah.
If you don't make mistakes, you're not really reaching out. You're not really...
Take chances.
Right. Absolutely.
Good.
Get out there.
And we're not seeing a lot of color right now because there isn't. It's winter and most of our plants are dead and not showing color, but birds will show some color.
Those cardinals.
I have seen so many cardinals. Jose Cardinal was one.
Was he over there at the house?
He's
good.
They're beautiful. And is there something we can do to feed the birds?
Well, the two things that you should be thinking about with the birds right now, birds can lose 16% of their body weight in one night.
What?
In one night.
When it's bitterly cold, just by shivering, they burn up calories just to try and keep warm. So they need to be fed. They need fat. They need calories. They need protein.
Yeah.
Suet.
Suet is, especially if you get the suet cakes that are embedded, sounds luscious, just like the berries.
Yeah, sounds good.
With the embedded wireworms and fruit and berries in them.
Mm.
And the other thing that people forget about is that they need water. And they can't get water.
Because it's frozen.
Right. So the de-icers that you put in a bowl, like a 14 to 16 inch bowl out on your patio, work really well. But now you have to remember, you have to put that in water. De-icer is kind of a misnomer. You can't put it in a frozen block of water and get it to thaw the water, but you start with the water and put the de-icer in, and that will maintain the temperature so the birds can get in and drink and even bathe. That's huge for them.
How do they bathe in the winter? Aren't they just going to be like, you know, the Iceman
when
they fly away?
Well, sometimes they fly away as a block of ice.
Oh, no.
No, they will only get in and bathe if they need to, but for them to get drinking water is really, really important. We sell a lot of the bird feeder de-icers.
Pretty cool.
Wendy, Tony has a fun fact about bird feeding. It is the number two hobby in America.
Behind gardening.
Behind gardening.
Yes.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
That's true. Tony Fulmer told me.
And now Wendy's going to be able to participate again in the number one hobby.
Yes.
Yes, I can't
wait. Thank goodness.
How do people find you? The best way to reach you, Tony Fulmer?
www.chaletnursery.com, or they can call me directly at 847-256-0561.
Or go to 3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette and visit the Chalet Nursery. Thank you so much. Great to see you.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk to Steve Bertrand next and find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.